recognize it, because that is his heart for you. So we're glad to be together this morning. I said this earlier, but my name is Kurt. I really love being at Vineyard. It's been my church home now for like 19 years, something like that, 18, 19 years. So if you're day one, welcome. If you just scan the QR code in front of you, we would love to personally connect with you as a guest. And actually, at the close of our service, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity. Depending on how God is speaking to you, you might want to scan that QR code. It's a way you can ask for prayer. It's a way you can communicate a response to the good news of Jesus, that you're wanting to follow Jesus with your life. It's a way you can take a next step, and then our team will follow up with you. So feel free to use that. And as always, everything we do is because a community of people are learning to be generous together. And so I just want to say thank you for how you respond in worship through giving financially to the life of our church. A picture of your generosity was yesterday we had over 50, maybe 70 volunteers gather for training. We have over 150 people who serve out of who they are in the life of our church because you are loved by the living God. And that's the story God is writing here in our local church through a community of people. And my hope is you'll encounter that story more as we open the scriptures. And so we're going to be in Luke. We've been preaching through the book of Luke since December. And today I'm going to finish a message I started last week on prayer. And the title of today's talk is Turn to God. It's going to have two movements. It's going to have two parts. And the first part is going to be sort of a closing of last week's message on prayer. And then a practical look at the call of Jesus to every single one of us in the room today. And so the thing that I want you to know about prayer that I said last week is Jesus lived a life of prayer. And here at Vineyard, we want to be those who learn to follow Jesus together. And so if Jesus prayed and you're learning to follow Jesus, you too should pray. And not like should, like, well, you should do that. It's like you pray because Jesus prays. You pray because we need conversation with the living God. You pray because there are things in this life and in this world that are not okay and they are not right, and we cry out for God's mercy. We pray because there are things we experience in this life that are a gift, and we praise God for his goodness. We praise God out of gratitude. We pray because we are not God. And we pray because God, the creator of the universe, prays. It is actually in the way he wants to form us as his followers. And if you read through Luke, you see Jesus prayed all the time. All the time. And so today I want to just refresh us in we want to learn to pray. Everyone gets to pray. Everyone can learn to hear God's voice. Everyone can open the Bible and read the scriptures and experience God speak to you and meet you. It is just the way God decided it should be, and I'm grateful for that. In my own story of following Jesus, I have just come to the realization over now a couple decades, prayer is the single most primary reason I believe God is real. I have seen God answer prayer, and the only answer is that God is living. Okay, that's fine. It's back on. It's going to be in and out. I'm going to have backup resources because I really want you all to hear me today. It's very important that you do. Luke 11, 1 through 4. One day, Jesus was praying. See, I told you. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Prayer will position our lives under God's authority. That's just the beauty of it. When we humble ourselves in prayer, We're positioning ourselves under God's authority. We're coming low. We're coming open and honest. And we must cultivate a life of prayer so every day we can depend on God. Every day we want to learn to depend on God and be obedient to His direction. If you remember, we've been reading through Luke, and in the previous chapter or two, this voice from heaven, God the Father, speaks over Jesus, "This is my Son whom I've chosen. Listen to Him." Prayer is a practice of faith where we learn to listen to God. We come under His authority and we open up our ears and we say, "God, speak, I want to hear You." And this is something to cultivate. Prayer positions our lives to receive what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. To receive the redeeming, restorative work of God. "Forgive me. I'm imperfect." He goes, "I know. I love you. I love you, but it's good because I got you." But here's something else I want us to understand about prayer. Prayer gives us what we need to deal with sin and evil. You, in your own life, cannot deal with the sin and evil that's present in the world. But Jesus says, "When I teach you to pray, I'm going to teach you how to forgive sin, and I'm going to teach you how to confront the temptation of the kingdom of darkness," which there isn't a work that's trying to produce and multiply evil in the world. Jesus is very aware of this. You should take this as good news this morning. When you look out at the world and you go, "God, I cannot believe this is happening," it should move us to prayer. "God, would You make things right? Would Your goodness come? Would You break the work of the evil one? Would You deal with things that were never from You or intended by You? Would You do that work? And most importantly, would You do that work in me? Teach me to forgive. Teach me to resist the temptation of evil." Prayer is a powerful place where the authority of God can increase in our life. And here's what I want to do. I want to just give you a couple practical tips. Anybody a runner in the room? One person willing to claim that. I was thinking about this. I was like, if you want to get good at running, what do? You run. You actually run. So very simply, if you want to grow in prayer, I'm going to give you the best spiritually. I mean, this is like the tip of all tips. If you want to get good at prayer, pray. You're like, "Yeah, but like the disciples didn't know how to pray. That's why they asked Jesus, 'Jesus, teach us to pray.'" Pray. Jesus, one day, was praying. That means tomorrow, at some point during your day, just find yourself by yourself. Find yourself space to be alone. That makes more sense. And just go, "God, if You're real," and wait. And you just start praying. And prayer is this: it's being open and honest about how you understand the world to God, who understands the world that He made. And He's interested and He will care. But I'm being completely genuine. If you want to grow in prayer, just start praying. Day in and day out, pray. But I'm going to give you some anchors and some handholds for how to do that, because you're like, "But Kurt, if I knew how to pray, I would just pray." So here we go. Here are the tips. Prioritize time to be quiet. To just be quiet. I think Jesus regularly went by Himself to commune and have connection with the living God. So you just need to find a quiet space and pray. Practice being honest and open about how you see the world, how you understand your life. Prayer is basically sharing your heart and your mind with God and then listening for God to share His heart and mind with you. Get to know Jesus. One of the ways you can grow in prayer is by reading the Bible and letting the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray be a guide for you. So you can just pray the prayer that Jesus taught right there in Luke 11. Another way to grow in prayer is let somebody else who is more familiar with prayer pray out loud with you. pray for you. So we offer prayer at the end of every service. If you're like, I just want to grow in prayer, I don't know how to do it, just come and let the prayer teams teach you how to pray. Let their words count. Another thing you can do is you can journal your prayers for 30 days and just notice if any of them get answered. That would probably build your faith. Pray for somebody by name and watch what God does to your heart and notice if God does anything in their life. Pray scripture. I was thinking about this. I already said this. You can pray the prayer Jesus taught you to pray, but there's a part of the Bible called the Old Testament. It's still very good, still very alive. There's a book particularly in there called the Psalms. It has a silent P at the beginning. P-S-A-L-M. You might want to pray this one. It's a cool one. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Stop. When I pray that prayer, I go, nope, God, I lack. I am lacking something today. Anybody ever been there? You're like, how do I pray that? No. What he's saying is, in God, I lack nothing. You have everything I need. And when I realize I feel like I'm lacking, I bring that to you. Be honest, right? Be open. You might read that and go, I can't pray that. Jesus, you are my shepherd. I want to lack nothing, but I feel like I lack everything. Jesus makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Jesus, my soul doesn't feel very refreshed. Let's just sit down right there on that verse this morning. Can you refresh me? Can you come, God? I need help. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. God, I'm facing a real decision in my life. Can you guide me? Can you give me the next step on the path that is good? Do y'all see how you just let the words already written in Scripture be words you can begin to let shape your life? That's prayer. That's prayer. Ask a friend to pray with you. Like if you're trying to grow in your spiritual life, just phone a friend and say, hey, I'm trying to grow in my spiritual life. I want to grow in prayer. I want to learn to hear God's voice. But could we just pray out loud together and try this thing? It always works better in pairs. I've already said this, I'll say it again. If you want to grow in prayer, pick one person in your life by name and just pray for them by name every day. If you want to pray like Jesus and see God answer prayers, pray for the sick to be well. Pray for the spiritually lost to be found. Pray for unity. Pray for peace. These are things at the heart of God that we see in the Scriptures. John 17 is a prayer for unity. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. These are prayers that align our prayer life to the life of Jesus. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit. We read that last week. The promise of God is that he wants to give good gifts, and the best gift he can give is his very life to us, his presence. And here's the final two tips. One of the things that helped me grow my posture of prayer in my life is listening to worship music beyond Sunday. I just started playing only worship music when I was in college, and my entire mental and emotional condition shifted. Most worship music is singing scripture. You'll be surprised. You'll know the song, and then you'll like realize like that's in the Bible. It's like, yeah, that's good. So when you worship, it's actually a form of prayer. And you're communicating your heart to God, and you're making space for God's presence to meet you. And you can learn how to pray by just singing other people's songs, and it's good for you. So I would encourage you, play worship music all the time. You're like, some of the time? No, all the time. All the time. Just try it for 2 weeks and see what happens. And here's the last one. This feels very timely for the day that we're living in. Do not consume more events or headlines than you are willing and able to pray for. I'm going to say that again. Do not consume more events and headlines than you are willing and able to pray for. And I'm going to just be transparent to you for just a minute. I spend as little time as possible on media platforms because I'm aware of something in my life. I already have enough events and headlines moving at me that are already maxing out my prayer life. I do not need more. But I can lean into a global work and family of God who are praying all over the globe for all kinds of things. And if we will be a community of prayer, our community will be covering all kinds of things in prayer. And it's not my job to be God, and it is not my job to handle every event and every headline and everything, but it is my job to fall at the feet of Jesus in humility and cry out for help. That is prayer. That is how Jesus teaches us to pray, and I want us to grow in that. We all need miracles. Right now, if you think about your life, you or somebody close to you needs a miracle. I hear about them every day. And I want us to be a community who follow in the ways of Jesus and we just cry out, God help. Two words, powerful prayer. God help. This week, if you want to grow in prayer, pray God help. And just wait and let Him come. Amen? All right. Luke 13. This is going to lead us to communion today. And I do really believe God just drew me to this text because I wasn't sitting there. I wasn't hanging out. I was going to cover. Yeah, y'all, come on in. Our students are going to be coming in and join us for communion today. This is Jesus. He says in Luke 13, starting in verse 1, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." A headline in Jesus' day and time, an event that produced concern that obviously brought people to come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, did you know? Isn't this awesome? This is next up students in the house. Come on now. I love it." They're coming to Jesus like, "Hey, did you hear what happened? What are you going to do about that?" So I just want you all to know the Bible is incredibly relevant. Like, incredibly relevant. I think this is a timely word for us. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." We get this interesting story of people coming to Jesus. What about their sin? What about it? It's greater. It's egregious. It's the real issue here, Jesus. What are you going to do about that? Jesus looks at the people in front of him and says, "Do you think they're worse sinners than you?" Uh-oh. Jesus, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about them. And Jesus just is not interested in playing that game. And this should cause all of us a real moment with the living God. "Oh, no, but do you think they were more guilty?" And he's like, "No, I know the sin of the world. I know the guilt of the world. I'm looking face to face with you. I'm talking to you. And here's what I know about you and the need you have, you need to repent. You need to repent. Jesus seems to say something we all need to hear. We all need to repent, or we will perish. A failure to repent leads to death. That's what Jesus is saying. And here's what I want you to know. Repentance is when my life is oriented away from God, I turn to God. That's repentance. I turn to God. Today is another day. Everybody in the room can make a conscious, intentional decision to turn to God. And we need to ruthlessly and honestly look at the sin and guilt in me. That's where I need to look. I need to look at the sin and guilt in me because they are not worse than me. They are not more guilty than me. Repentance is about turning to God and then bearing fruit that comes from God. Turn your eyes and look at Jesus. Turn your will and yield to Jesus. Turn your self-sufficiency and depend on Jesus. Turn your judgment and forgive like Jesus. This is why he teaches us to pray and then calls us to repent. The prayer anchors us in how we need to repent. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Anywhere that's not the way I'm living my life, he's saying, repent and get back with me. Come back to me. Come home. And I couldn't help but think about this link in the scriptures. Jesus tells this story about a fig tree bearing fruit. And he knows that sometimes there's work. We have to work the soil. He just taught a parable about the soils. And there's a gardener that's tending to it. We need our lives to be tended to and the soil to be worked and fertilizer to be added. But when Jesus looks at our life, he wants our lives to bear fruit. But here's what's great. Luke 3, verse 8 says this, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. As followers of Jesus, people who are finding life in God, we do not repent once and then we're done. We live in a posture that we keep repenting. We keep turning back to God. If we've turned once, we spend the rest of our lives returning to God every moment we realize we've turned away. Repenting could be about sin, a conscious disobedience, where I stepped outside of God's best and I turned back to God. That is part of repentance. It's not the only thing. Repenting could be about disconnection. God, I've just disconnected from you. I've neglected time with you. I've been distracted by other things. I've just drifted. And I look up and I realize I'm not turned towards you. I repent and I turn. And forever how far I thought I wandered away and drifted away and was distracted away, when I turn, you know who's standing right there? Boom. The God who chases after us. The God who comes for us, the God who moves towards us, the God who does not just stay in a heavenly throne, but comes and puts on flesh and heartbeat, who will lay his life down for the forgiveness of sin for the entire world, which is why Jesus knows it's not about being less guilty or less sinful. It's about being fully home in him. Repentance. Let me tell you two stories of repentance in my life, and then I'm going to give you a exercise. A couple Sundays ago, we're singing songs about the miraculous work of God. It's great. I love it. And I'm sitting right here. I like to sit here. Come join us in the front. It's sweet. And we're worshiping, and I'm singing these songs, and I just sense the Lord say, hey, Kurt, you're singing that, but you're not living it. And I was like, it's bold of you to say that to me, God. Okay. And I knew it. I knew it. I know there are some circumstances I'm aware of that matter, but I just was not believing God could do the miraculous. I wasn't praying in a posture of, God, you're bigger than this. You ever been there? So I knelt down right here on the floor in the middle of our service, and I just said, God, forgive me. Like, I repent. This part of my life, I'm turning back to you. Care for it. Take it. I need your help. I want it to be different, and I can't do anything about it, but I've not been living connected to you in it. Will you connect with me in it? That's repentance. Does that make sense? Well, it was good for me. As repentance always is. Here's the second one. I was spending some quiet time with God. I've been reading through this devotional book, and it's like 2.5 pages long. It doesn't have to be long for it to count. It just needs to be honest, and it needs to be a place you connect with God. And I'm sitting there reading through this devotional book, and it basically does this thing where it's like, wait only on God. And I'm like, got it. And then I just felt this impression on my soul, you have been looking to something other than God to give you the salvation you need. You have been looking to God, you've been looking to God and something else to be a solution for something you need. And I just felt like God said, will you repent? Will you turn to me and recognize that thing will not rescue you? Wait only on me. That is how we turn to God. When we become aware of a place, something in our life is turned away from God, and I'm looking to something other than God to save me, to rescue me, to be the solution I need, I just go, God, you're right. I'm going to turn back to you. That's repentance. Repentance is turning something in your life that you know and can name and saying, God, I give it to you. Does that resonate? Repentance is about receiving God, and it's about giving your life back to God. So we're going to practice this as we come to communion. You're like, well, I've got an open mic. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That would be fine. There is a blank note card in a seat back in front of you and a pen. Do not write your name on it. That's not what this is about. God knows you by name. He knows you by name. This is practicing an exercise that could be really good for you. And here's what I think. I think everybody has something in our life that is not as close to God as it could be. You have somebody that you know and love, that you would love to be in relationship with Jesus, and they're not. And you've maybe given up hope. Maybe today God's going to bring that person to your mind, and you're going to bring that person to God and say, God, would you rescue them? All hope is not lost. And if you're going to write somebody's name down, do not write their name down, only initials. If there's somebody in your life you've been praying for that they need rescue, they need healing, they need hope, and you're just not sure God's interested, I think God is interested. You're going to turn back to God today, and initials only. Do y'all hear that? This is anonymous, nobody's name on it, and if you're writing somebody's name, it's only initials because it's actually not about the card. It's about getting open and honest in God's presence. Now, here's the other thing. There are things that try to steal and kill and destroy us. They wreck our lives. And they put a barrier between us and God, even though God's come and said, I'm going to remove all barriers, but he loves for us to come be honest. You might have something in your life that is keeping you turned away from God. It's greed. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's you just know better. I don't know. I do not know what you're going to write on the card. I told you two stories that in the last 10 days I've had to deal with because God's been lovingly dealing with me. If you want to participate, I'm just inviting you to write it on the card, and then in just a moment, Pastor Jay is going to lead us in communion, and you're being invited just to come, set the card down, and pick up the love of God and the redemption of God and the salvation of God revealed to us in Jesus, fresh and new today. Lay your burdens down. Confess your stuff to community, and the Lord is gracious and kind to meet you and draw you home.